Hallelujah. Amen. I cannot live up to the accolade of that presentation. The Lord has to enable. God is able in all things, in all of our lives, in all of our existence. Let us have a word of prayer. Righteous, eternal God, our Father. Lord, we thank you for this gathering today. We thank you, Lord, for your precious word that we have before us. Lord God, we thank you for the Holy Spirit that teaches us through your chosen vessels. And we thank you, Lord God, for the truth that, Lord, informs us. It informs us, this truth, of who we are, what we have, what we can expect. Now, Lord, bless your word unto the hearts of each one that you have preassigned it unto, and to the measure, the depth, unto those that thou hast pre-assigned it to. Amen. Bless, Lord, this service and all these proceedings, O God, and your people, every friend and every visitor, we thank you, Lord, for them. Bless them, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Won't you turn with me to the book of Ephesians? The book of Ephesians, chapter 1. As we are continuing in our discourse from the document. Does everyone have the document passed out to you? God's sovereignty in election to salvation, page 4 of 5 pages. Anyone does not have the document that... Amen. Raise your hand. There's one over there, Brother Najee. The sovereignty of God in election to salvation. Praise be Jesus. And we're going to read from the first chapter of Ephesians. The first chapter of Ephesians. We're going to read verses 1 through verse 8. Ephesians 1, chapter 1, we'll read through verse 1 through verse 8.
King James.
Elder, read the first two verses in the King James and then proceed in the interlinear Greek text.
Ephesians chapter 1, mm-hmm. verse 1 through 8, the first two verses would be in the King James text.
Mm-hmm.
Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ,
yes,
by the will of God,
by the will of God,
to the saints which are at Ephesus,
mm-hmm.
and to the faithful in Christ Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Verse 2, grace be to you.
Grace be to you.
Mm-hmm. And peace from God.
And peace.
Our Father.
From God, our Father.
Get and that. From the Lord Jesus Christ.
Get that. Grace to you. Unmerited favor, undeserved kindness God extends unto us. Our Father. Uh-huh. And peace from our God, our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 3.
Blessed the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ,
mm-hmm.
who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in the heavens in Christ.
Who hath already blessed us. As Pastor was alluding to, that everything is done just earlier. We are already blessed in each and every blessing spiritual in the heavenlies. And the heavenlies, as everything else in creation, is in Christ Jesus. According to Colossians chapter 1, verse 16 and 17, visible and invisible. Read, Elder.
According as he hath chosen us in him.
Now, according as he hath chosen us. If he chose us, that means some he didn't choose. And that is a great stumbling block between... Amen. The denominations, the various denominations, whether we came to know Christ and got saved or whether he chose us unto salvation. We're going to deal with that today. That will be throughout the basis of this discourse today. All right?
According as he hath chosen us in him.
When, Ella?
Before the foundation of the world.
Before creation. Read.
That we should be holy and without blame before him in love.
That we should be holy and without blame. That is a present infinitive being holy, being separated from other peoples, the non-elect. Before him in love. Read, Elder.
Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children.
This will be our focal verse today, verse 5. Having predestinated us unto adoption of, from the king, interlineal, adoption of sons through.
By Jesus Christ to himself.
To himself. Read.
According to the good pleasure of his will.
He didn't do it begrudgingly. According to the good pleasure of his will. Saints of God, the Lord is never out to get you. He chastens us, but he is never out to get you and certainly not to do us in. In love, as the end of verse 4 says, in love. Our love is nothing like the love of God. In love. Sometimes we can turn our love on and shut it off. In love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of sons. Read on, Ella.
Verse 6, to the praise of the glory of his grace.
And this is to the praise of the glory of his grace. It's got to be by grace if he chose us before the foundation of the world. We weren't there to give any assent or be baptized. Or speak in tongues or anything. He chose us before creation. We were picked out. And we're going to have other scriptures that speak to that same end. Mm-hmm.
Wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved.
My God, if God makes you accepted in the beloved, so what your friends don't think this or that about you or a family member? God is the one for whom it matters and to whom it matters. Yes. He has made us accepted in the beloved.
Yes.
Glory. He accepted me. Praise Jesus. So you'd be a shoe in, so to speak. Hallelujah. Read, Ella.
In whom we have redemption through his blood.
In whom we have redemption. Let me bring that word out, redemption. In whom we have redemption. Redemption means to buy back, the action of regaining or gaining possession of something in exchange for payment or clearing of a debt. Jesus Christ shed our blood on the behalf of the sins of us. We are totally and completely redeemed, even though we were decreed sinners, and it manifests. As sinners, it manifests only in the flesh. In our eternal actualized essence, abiding in the body of Christ, yes. Right now, there is no sin. No sin in Christ.
Yes.
But as we were decreed to be assigned to bodies in the creation of time, we were assigned a sin nature. But, that should be a subordinating conjunction. But, Christ died for our sins.
Yes.
How many of them? All of them. He died for our sins. If you could live 150 years sinning, he died for all of them. If you could live 900 years in sin, he died for all of them. We abide in him eternally in the body of Christ. Finish that, Ella.
In whom, verse 7, in whom we have redemption through his blood.
We have redemption. There it is. So don't look anywhere else to be redeemed. The redemption is in the blood of Christ shed for us. Read.
The forgiveness of sins.
We have the forgiveness of sins. How? By what measure?
According to the riches of his grace.
Riches or richness. Riches and richness are both nouns. According to the richness of the grace of him. Again, we are saved by the grace of God. If you received the Holy Ghost, shook the preacher's hand, gave assent, was water baptized on the mourner's bench, mourn your sins away, so to speak. That was God's processes. God deals with us where we are. But it does not take anything away from the fact or negate the fact that we were chosen in him before the foundation of the world. Those were just processes that God used to enlighten us that we belong to him, but it did not affect our eternal positioning in Christ.
Yes.
Not only that, nothing can, as Pastor just alluded to earlier, nothing can affect our position of sonship in Christ Jesus. You know, it's just used the masculine gender, masculine vernacular. Amen. But we all are members of the body of Christ. Reading. God's sovereignty in election to salvation. Sovereignty means God's supreme power or authority or absolute right. He is sovereign. It is his absolute right in election. It means just what it says. Election means choosing choice. God chose some and rejected others. In other words, really, it goes further than that. Not only did he reject others, they were designated, created as vessels of wrath. Satan was not created as a vessel of mercy. He was assigned to what God purposed him to be. That's all he could be. The non-elect can never be saved. No, whosoever will can come and be accepted unto Christ. No, no, no. I'm going to deal with that verse. We're going to Romans chapter 9 and verse 10. Sovereignty in election, the act or instance of choosing or choice. God chose some and rejected others. Some are vessels of mercy, others are vessels of wrath. That's all they can be. But thanks be to God, we don't know who they are. Because we might get hyped up one day and tell them, say, I hope you're burning in hell. Oh, we do that anyway sometime. Election to salvation. Our eternal relationship or sonship position in the body of Christ. It is, salvation is also deliverance from sin and its consequences. We don't have to worry about hell. Period. Period. Preservation, we are preserved or delivered from sin. Ultimate harm, ruin. I'm not saying you're not going to leave out of this earth violently. That's God's doing, whatever he has purposed. But I'm talking about the bottom line, ultimately, because violently or peacefully, so to speak, we all are going to leave this.
Amen. Amen.
Ultimate harm, ultimate ruin, or ultimate loss, no way. We are safe. We are eternally safe. There's nothing safe in this world as we look around us. But we are eternally safe where it counts, in our eternal essence or existence, where we actually abide in the body of Christ. We are safe. When we close our eyes from this venue, we are safe. I'm reading from the document that you have in your hand. I'm going to start middle ways, this first paragraph. Milways, the first paragraph, right after the scripture, Ephesians 2 and 8, if you see that. Follow me from there. The Greek verb in this, that is verse 5, in love, having predestinated us unto adoption or son position of children by Jesus Christ to himself according to the good pleasure of his will. That verse. The key Greek verb in this verse is translated foreordain, which is derived from combining pro and orizo, which respectively mean beforehand or prior to, and to set bounds, limits, and restrictions. We are God's pre-people. We weren't saved after the fact. God saved us previously in eternity.
Yes. Amen.
Before flesh, before time, before creation of the universe and the cosmos. We were chosen in him before the foundation or creation of the world, being holy and without blame before him. Why are we out without blame? Because Christ died for all of our sins. He died in God's decree in eternity, and Calvary was manifestation of what had already transpired out of God saying or speaking it, as everything else. It means beforehand or prior to, and to set the bounds and limits and restrictions. It conveys the idea of to limit, restrict, mark out beforehand. God marked us out from those that do not belong to him beforehand. Thus, to in prior time design, we were designed, our course is designated and designed specifically for each one of us. My course is not your course. Yours is not mine or your neighbor's. It was designed. This verb is in an aorist participle. The aorist tense is a completed action. When was it completed? It was always completed. In eternity.
Yes.
Always completed. Now the natural mind cannot fully grasp always was or completion always. But we go according to God's word. The aorist tense. No accident that this gospel was presented unto us in the Greek language, with its different conveyances, grammatical conveyances and the like. No accident. It was always completed. We were always in the body of Christ. We do not get saved, and we shall prove that. This verb is an aorist participle, a verbal adjective, as it implies that this action of for, before, ordaining occurred prior to or simultaneous with the divine selection of God's elect, those whom he chose.
Yes.
The contextual thought conveyance is, and I love this, God both chose or elected, selected, and for before ordained individuals to be holy and blameless prior to creating the world. Ellie, here's what I want to do first. I know somebody has looked at me funny on a sly. I want you to go to Romans chapter 9, and I want you to read from the interlinear Greek text, verses 21 through 24. I said that God has chosen and selected or elected some, and he has rejected others, but more than that, he has created others unto destruction. We're going to let God's word speak to it. Romans chapter 9, beginning verse 21. And Elder, I want you to go read straight from the interlinear Greek text. Follow along in the King James Version. It will be similar.
Romans chapter 9.
Let me say this. The interlinear Greek text is taken from the oldest manuscripts, and we go with it because it hews closer to the original manuscripts than most other versions. But we go further than that. We exegete, or we dig out the literal meaning of the verses and in them the tenses, the moods, and that in the Greek language.
Amen. Yes.
All right, Ella, begin reading.
Romans chapter 9.
Now, this is God's word, not mine. Follow us.
Romans chapter 9, verse 21 in the interlinear Greek text.
Mm-hmm.
Or has not authority the potter of the clay?
All right, given that analogy, not the potter, the authority of the potter of the clay, what?
Out of the same lump.
Out of the same lump of humanity. Out of the same lump of humanity, what?
To make this to honor vessel.
To make this to honor vessel, this to honor vessel,
that to dishonor,
and that to dishonor. He has made some unto honor and some unto dishonor. Ella, read.
Verse 22. But if willing God. To show forth the wrath and to make known.
Back up, Ella. Somebody didn't get that. To show forth what?
The wrath.
His wrath. Read.
And to make known,
having made known. Everything that God has done is already finished. God is not creating or doing day by day, day in, day out. Only thing that is showing forth is manifestation of what God has already decreed eternally. Yes. That's all we're seeing is manifestation for God's purpose. As testimony of what God has done, of testimony of what he has sovereignly will and purpose, yes, regarding all things,
yes,
the visible and the invisible. All right, read Ella.
And the ability of him bore in such long suffering, vessels of wrath, having been fitted for destruction.
Vessels of wrath, that's in the genitive case, that's why of is there, of wrath, fitted to destruction. That word fitted, or verb fitted, means to be placed in their proper position. You don't place your fine china in the garage, do you? You put it in its proper place, yeah, position, where it's properly. Intended. Vessels of wrath fitted, assigned, designated unto destruction. Read on, Ella.
Verse 23.
Mm-hmm.
And in order that he might make
having made known. That's what we call an aorist subjunctive. Everything in creation already is complete. We just haven't seen all of it. God manifests incrementally according to his will. But everything was spoken in one decree. In the one decree, we were designated and assigned to the body of Christ by one spirit. Were we all baptized into one body in eternity? That's the aorist tense.
Amen.
but God manifests it to creation and humanity and unto us incrementally, process-wise, measured unto us. We can't take everything at once. You heard the expression, blow your mind? We can't handle everything. We can't handle too much of nothing unless we're blown away. Yeah. Start at that verse again, Elder, the beginning of that verse.
23. And in order that, he might make known.
Might make, having made, already in eternity, decreed, determined of God. Might make, having made known.
The riches of the glory of him.
This is his doing and for his glory.
On vessels of mercy.
Up there you have vessels of wrath assigned, designed, and fitted in place to destruction. They can't be anything else. Mercifully, God has not shown us completely, totally who they are. The scripture says, having this confidence, not I know who belong to the Lord, but the Lord knows who belong, those that are his. So we can't go around saying, I know she ain't saved and never be saved. I know she don't belong to the Lord or he don't belong to the Lord. We don't know. Who would have thought the Apostle Paul walking around looking for Christians to hail down, drag in to the courts and be killed. Christians killed. Who would have thought he was one of them? None of those would have. But God put that in the scriptures for our comprehension, for our understanding. The Lord knoweth them that are his. Vessels of wrath, vessels of, that he might make, having made known the riches of the glory of him on the vessels of mercy. We are vessels of mercy. We didn't do it. We didn't get it. We are vessels of mercy. What?
Which he previously prepared.
Oh, my God. You know you're pre-people. Pre-people.
Previously.
Pre-people. We were previously prepared. How much? All of it. Your daily walk and the stuff you bump into or skirt around was previously prepared. God is not making daily decisions. He's not making up stuff, though, as he go. That's what we do. In time. Time to get up. Time to go back to work. Time to go to church. Time to bathe. Read, Ella.
Previously prepared. For the glory.
For glory. We were previously prepared for glory. And nobody can take it away. None. Meteor hit the earth. We're still glorified. Nuclear weapons break out. We're still glorified. And don't get, oh Lord, thank Jesus, so much. Because we are going to leave this anyway. Temporary. And saints of God, since I'm on the subject, everything in physicality that you can see in creation, all the things that confront you in life, in business, in pleasure, in the social aspect, are temporary. Our families, our relationship, there's my only biological daughter right there. Temporary. The trouble that you about to get in, temporary. The consequences that you might face if da-da-da-da-da, temporary. The pain you feel and can't get rid, temporary. The bad vibes you have about a certain person, temporary. Everything in physicality and in time is temporary. Praise be Jesus.
Yes.
But the relationships, the family relationships pale in glory to that which we are to one another in the body of Christ. You can't describe it with any emotion, affection, endearment on this earth. We won't be mad at nobody. Can you imagine your heart getting mad at your lungs? Are your lungs shutting down? Say, I am through working myself to death trying to take care in air for you all. Can you imagine your kidneys say, I'm out of here. I'm tired of you guys. You have worn me out. All parts of your natural body will work until they cannot work anymore to service other members of your body. Much more in the body of Christ, in our eternal existence in him. El, is that it through 24? Mm-hmm.
I haven't read 24.
All right. Read 24 and we'll leave here.
Verse 1. Whom also he called.
Whom also, meaning us, vessels of mercy, whom also he called. Called. Not in time. Not when you was out there and you heard the voices. No, no, no. That was the manifestation of it. Not when I was out there trying to be super fly with my hair weave and my gold diamond on my tooth. And the Lord, I heard the call of Christ.
Thank God.
That was the manifestation of it. I didn't know I belonged to him. I was doing everything I could to be cool. I didn't know I belonged to the Lord. Bless Jesus. All right, read it, Ella.
Us not only of Jews.
Us not only of Jews.
But also of the nations.
Also of nations or of Gentiles. In the body of Christ, there's neither Jew or Gentile, even though they come from the Jewish ethnicity in physicality or any ethnicity in physicality or gender. They're not male and female. No mess, ethnicity, gender in the body of Christ. No mess. The mess stays here.
Yes.
Praise Jesus. Reading again. The focus now shifts, second paragraph of the document before you. The focus now shifts to the object or end unto which God foreordained us. That is, to place us in positions of sonship. He foreordained us to place us in positions of sonship. Nothing can change that, what God has done. Note the Greek word eothesians, rendered son positions, which is derived from eos and tithemi, and literally denotes to place or put in the position of a son. The basis for displacement or adoption is the redemptive work of Christ. He paid it all. And I do mean all of it. He paid it. We're free because he paid it. All of our sins. We have been forgiven all our trespasses and our sins. What the scripture just read. We are vessels of mercy. God's mercy through his grace. It abounds on us, and it never leaves us. Never, 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 never leaves us. So it literally denotes to place or put in the position of a son. The basis for this placement adoption is the redemptive work of Christ. Yes. In Galatians chapter 4, verses 5 through 6, Paul refers to an adoption of sons as those who, having received the Spirit, recognize God as Father. Thus it is established that we were foreordained, predestinated, determined beforehand, predetermined, and marked out to be placed in positions of sons. And in the process of time, he calls us the elect, not the vessels of wrath, but us the vessels of mercy.
Yes.
He calls us in time in various ways. He causes one to seek the gift of the Holy Ghost. He causes one to get on the mourner's bench, or another, praise God, to be baptized and believing that that's what gets you in. But God, in his mercy, he teaches us the designated ones, that we were chosen in him before creation and certainly before I received anything or got wet. Before, we belonged to him. He calls the elect through the Holy Spirit. Here we must conclude from this information. That's why I had the brother go to the scriptures. We conclude from this information that God is dead and non-existent to the non-elect. He is not revealed unto them as their father and they in sonship. No. They are vessels of wrath. They have been created unto that end so that we can in mercy and thankfulness and glorifying him and praising him through all eternity.
Yes.
Look where he brought me from. Praise him for his glory and for his grace. God did all these things for a purpose, that he would receive glory, honor, and praise from we, the vessels of mercy. He showed the difference by creating evil and by designating the vessels of wrath. He showed a difference between us and them. As I said on our last time before you, you can never be them. Never, 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 never. You can never be them. And they can never, ever, 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 ever be you.
Yeah.
It's them and us. And we didn't get to be us. We were made us.
I hear you.
We were chosen to be us. And they were decreed to be them.
Yes.
He's non-existent to the non-elect. And predeterminately void of a relation to them. From this we rejoice in the knowledge we have been given in being a part of God's chosen family. Referencing Hebrews 2 and 10. Note this positioning of sons is by or through Thea, Jesus Christ.
Yes.
Thea is through. Jesus Christ. Thus he is the agency through which it is effectuated, and effectuated means to cause or bring about. I'm going to resist going to Hebrews. I want you to turn with me to Romans 10, the notorious Romans 10, verse 9 and 10. But I'm going to start before that, and I'm watching the time. I'm going to start in verse 5, because this is where most of God's people run to when they want to show and prove that they got saved. Now, who did I say run here? God's people. We were chosen in him. Even if we don't have things doctrinally correct, if we were chosen, we are chosen. It is the Lord that giveth knowledge and comprehension. We have nothing that we have not received. If we know the grace covenant, the mystery, we've been given that. If one does not, one of our friends, family members, co-workers don't know it, we don't look at him like this. We mercifully say, Lord, according to your will. And if God has decreed it, he will give us to minister or speak unto him. And if his will, he will cause that one to receive it. Romans chapter 10, verse 5, Ella.
Romans chapter 10, beginning with the fifth verse.
Yes.
For Moses describeth the righteousness which is of the law.
Moses described the righteousness which is of the law. What about that righteousness?
That the man which doeth those things shall live by them.
The man which doeth those things shall live in them. Mm-hmm.
But the righteousness which is of faith.
The righteousness which is, the better word is faithfulness. And I'm going to show you why when we get to verse 8, 9, and 10. Faithfulness. Now, it's a noun. Faith is a noun, and faithfulness is a noun, but faithfulness is the better term. The righteousness of faithfulness. We do not have our righteousness. We abide in the righteousness of Christ. The righteousness of faith or faithfulness speaketh on this wise. Read, Ellen.
On this, say not in thy heart.
Say not in thine heart.
Who shall ascend into heaven?
Who shall ascend into heaven?
That is to bring Christ down from above.
That is to bring Christ down from above. Uh-huh.
Verse 7. Or who shall descend into the deep?
Hold it there, Ellen. The phrase, say not in thy heart, who shall ascend into heaven, that is a quote from Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 12. When God gave them his word, say not in your heart, who shall ascend up into heaven and get it. You have it. We have God's word.
That's right.
They had God's word unto them. We have God's word unto us. Our God's word unto us is the mystery, the gospel of the grace of God given to the Apostle Paul for the grace church, which is the body of Christ. Unto them was given laws and commandments.
Yes.
As it was speaking about in verse 5. All right, read, Ellen.
That is to bring Christ down from above.
All right.
Or who shall descend into the deep?
Or the better term is this. This is to bring Christ down from above. That is a demonstrative pronoun that we are dealing with. I got to assign this here so you follow with me. A demonstrative pronoun where it say that is better this. A demonstrative is a conclusive or decisive. It only needs outward expression, or it is pointing out something. It's pointing out something in order to demonstrate. All right. We have two or three of them here. All right. Read, Elder.
Verse 7. Or who shall descend into the deep?
Or who shall ascend into the deep?
That is to bring a Christ again from the dead.
Another demonstrative pronoun. This. To bring up Christ again from the dead. It is pointing out you do not need to go up to heaven and get God's word. He's already given it. You don't need to go into the deep. Christ has, having been, according to God's decree, Calvary and the aftermath was only manifestation. Christ has already risen in God's decree and in manifestation in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. All right, read, Ellen.
Verse 8.
And this is the pivotal verse that leads God's people. Who did I say? God's people, saved. That leads them into error in their assessment of God's doings. You
verse
have
eight.
To exegete the scriptures. Ex means dig in and bring out the literal exegete. Dig in and bring out the literal meaning. And interpret, bring the Greek language over into our language to get the comprehension of it. You notice I didn't say to be saved, did I? We were chosen in him before. You could not know Adam's house cat from A or B. If God chose you, you belong to him.
Thank God.
You belong to him. everybody does not receive the knowledge, amen, and in progression of knowledge of the scriptures. The baby, that's God's choice, don't receive it. The mentally incompetent don't receive it. And some of the aborted ones who are God's elect don't receive it. We are chosen in him before the foundation of the world. All right, verse 8, Ella, the pivotal verse.
Verse 8. Mm-hmm. But what saith it?
But what saith it? What? God's word.
Mm-hmm. The word is nigh thee.
That word is better the same. Logos in the Greek is word. This Greek word is rhema, the saying. Oh, yeah, that's the word. But the saying is what? Nigh thee. What, elder?
Even in thy mouth and in thy heart.
In thy mouth and in thy heart. That quote is from Deuteronomy 30:14, and it ends right there. In thy mouth and in thy heart. The rest of that verse saying that thou mayest do it. That's what the rest of Deuteronomy 30:14 said, that thou mayest do it. But that is a quote from Deuteronomy 30:14, and it stops right there. It does not go further in the text. The next two words, that is, or better, this is a demonstrative pronoun pointing out something. All right? This what?
That is the word of faith.
This, the word of faithfulness. What?
Which we preach,
saith Paul. That shows you he wasn't talking about no more from Deuteronomy. He is comparing, demonstrating what we preach as opposed, and God's word with us, as opposed to what they proclaim in that, under that covenant and in that dispensation, which is of the law. All right, here we go. This is the word of faith or faithfulness which we preach. Now I want you to find you doing something in these scriptures. Read, Ella.
That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth.
Hold it. Stop. That if thou may confess, having confessed. I said earlier that everything is already or preordained of God. There's nothing coming up. Nothing visible. Nothing invisible. That's why it's called creation. It's already done. God has created everything, every circumstance, every event, every association, every problem, everything, every saying. Where do you think evil come from? You think evil was standing over there waiting for God to turn his back and No, my friends. He is either the creator who is almighty, or he is not the creator and he's only sort of mighty. But God is almighty.
Thank God.
And he is the only creator.
Amen.
He created evil. Read Isaiah 45, I think, verse 7.
Amen.
That if thou may confess, you don't just come to the Lord on your own in the day that you think you got saved. Your confession was previously prepared and ordained of God in eternity in his decree. That's an aorist subjunctive. The subjunctive mood is a probability, meaning the transpirance of it, when it transpired, when and how it transpired in the created entity of time. But if you were not ordained in eternity to confess, you will never confess. But again, all of God's people do not confess. The babe, the mentally incompetent, and those who just haven't heard. God chose some of those also. All right. If thou may confess, having confessed. All right. What, Elder?
That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thy heart.
That is a subjunctive aorist also. Not shall, That would be indicative, which is a fact. Although, and may believe, having believed. If you believe, it is because God has decreed for you to believe. You don't just believe on vessels of wrath fitted to destruction, vessels of mercy unto the glory of God. Yes. Continue, Elder.
That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart,
may believe having believed in thine heart,
that God raised him from the dead,
Calvary,
thou shalt be saved.
After Calvary was manifestation, just like what we are going through in time right now. Manifestation for testimony of what God has already purposed, pre-purposed in eternity. Our tomorrows are already fixed. Our lives are already laid out. And get this, don't shriek, don't get nervous. Our demise has already been accomplished. It is already done. The day of our leaving out of the physicality and time is already done. It just has not been revealed or showed up. It's already been determined, like everything else in creation. Everything. Read, Ella.
Verse 10.
Finish verse 9. Something I want to bring out there.
That if thou shalt believe in thy heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved.
Thou shalt be saved. What we have here is a future indicative and the passive voice. Future indicative. The indicative mood in the Greek text is a fact. Indicative is a fact. It got to be a fact if God has already created and ordained everything. Whether it transpire now, show up now, or show up sometime in the future, it's still already done. Already done. A future indicative is back to the decree. God decreed everything by a saying, Hebrews 11 and 3, by a saying in eternity. Everything. It's already done.
Amen.
Being saved, you don't have to put thou shalt be saved. All you can, because there's no scripting for thou shalt. And now, believe in thy heart that God had raised him from the dead, saved. But the believing is not out of us. It doesn't originate out of us. We are caused to believe. As vessels of mercy, we are caused to believe. Finish with verse 10, Ella.
Verse 10,
mm-hmm.
For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness.
Stop.
Oh, have mercy.
Wonder where I got saying that from. Stop. For with heart man believeth. Guess what voice that is in? It's not an active voice. It's in the passive voice. If everything above that is according to God's decree in eternity, the confession, Christ being raised, and the believing of being and saved, if that has already been done, the believing is not going to be out of us. We are caused to believe. It's in the passive voice. It's a present indicative. It's a fact, but it's passive. It's not us in the origin of the doing of it.
Amen.
It is God.
That's right. Amen.
Finish, Ella.
For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness.
Uh-huh.
And with the mouth, confession
is
made unto salvation.
We are called to confess unto salvation. Calls to confess. Passive voice.
Yes.
Indicative mood. Praise God. As I said last time, I thought this time we'd shout and jump and run around the church. But we didn't do it this time, so give me next time. But I want you to receive God's truth.
Amen.
properly exegeted. Our truth was given unto us to inform us of who we are, what we have, what we can expect, and to let us know that we are, bottom line, saved. We don't have to worry about being lost. You don't have to worry about backsliding. That's what Israel could have feared in that, under that covenant. There is no backsliding out of the body of Christ or no other kind of sliding. Even you can moonwalk. You can't moonwalk out of Christ. God bless your saints.
Amen.